Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser, Joe Rex Road will be along here in just a few minutes, live at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Over the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, it is always about great service. And it's a sad day here on the Robbie and Rex Road program. It is the final day for our beloved Nick Kieser on the program today. He escapes the chains of having to deal with me and Rex Road on a daily basis after this day. Nicholas, we've made it to the end here. It's a sad day.
Yeah, well, we'll get through this. It'll be fun. We got some donuts to fuel us this morning.
We did.
So I brought some. Ian brought some. The idea for me to even bring them came from the intern. So thanks, Max.
Wow.
But yeah, but we're going to have a good little morning here. Rox Road's a little behind. Hashtag Brennan, I guess. I don't know.
Guess we'll see.
But yeah, Joe will be with us here shortly.
He will. But we will take your well wishes, your warm thoughts for Nick Kieser throughout the show on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We were all blessed with a nicked off yesterday, a Nick Kieser rant. So if you missed that, go back and check it out wherever you get your podcast.
I hope that PK enjoyed it if he did listen. He said he was going to.
I
never heard
too.
From him. If I didn't hear from him, I guess I did all right.
I would say that that is the general rule. If you did not hear from him, there's nothing for him to complain about.
Or he was maybe still mourning over Finn. I did read that story, too.
Yes.
That was kind of sad. But hope that the Kuharsky family is doing well right now.
Yes, absolutely. So, a lot to get to on the program today. We got a jam-packed show. We've got Jared Stillman for his weekly visit coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. And I may have to get after him about his... Well, I don't really know what's the Masters so different than any other golf tournament. I may have to get after that take coming up at 7 o'clock too. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, will be with us at 7:30. The spring game coming up tomorrow. It is that beautiful time of year. Spring football is in the air, and before you know it, the college football season will be upon us again. So Clark Lee will be with us at 7:30, and then of course TD for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. Couple weeks out from the NFL draft, another edition of Weekend Winners coming up at 8:30. So we got a jam-packed show to get into today. We'll take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025. The well wishes already rolling in for Kieser. Chip from Mount Juliet saying, "Awesome work, Nick. Great job. Good luck in the future." We'll continue to take your well wishes on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So an interesting day yesterday. We're going to get into some draft talk with the Titans a little bit later in the show. But I want to start on this. So a report from On3 Sports yesterday about Nico Iamaliava and the Tennessee Volunteers and some potential negotiations that are going on there for, the way they phrased it, was a new contract. So as we have talked about many times here on the show, Nico Iamaliava is one of those guys that's on that new age of playing quarterback in the NIL era, and he was kind of that first wave of that. And there's all this reports out there that he's the $8 million quarterback, right? So making $2 million per year to play quarterback at the University of Tennessee. Last year, he becomes the starter. He leads Tennessee to the college football playoff, and I would say his numbers last year were good. He had a good year, especially given his age at the quarterback position. He did not, however, have a great year. And I think when you think about his profile and what the expectations are for him, not only from a production standpoint at Tennessee, but also for his NFL future and the idea of him potentially becoming a first-round pick one day. There's a big step and a big leap that's going to be required from him as they head into this year and potentially beyond that. He'll be his third year this year. We'll see what that looks like if he's coming out after this year to go to the NFL or if he comes back to Tennessee or elsewhere, I guess, for another year. But now his future potentially in question in the short term with Tennessee. Pete Nakos putting it out there yesterday that they're in the middle of contract negotiations with Tennessee, Ian Maliava and his camp. And, quote, it's unclear if he will use the spring transfer portal window as leverage, but that could happen at this point. So, here we are. You've got spring football going on, by the way, in which he has been participating. Ian Maliava has been participating in spring football. So, you've got all that going on, and now this thrown out there by Pete Nakos of On3 Sports yesterday that they are in the middle of contract negotiations and that could affect the spring transfer portal window. Now, my initial take on this is this. This is modern-day college football, and it looks like any time that these kids, especially at a high-level position like quarterback, have the chance to quote-unquote renegotiate, that's probably what we're going to see as they move forward here. Do I believe that Ian Maliava is just going to leave and go somewhere else? No, I don't. I think he's trying to get more money out of Tennessee. And the likelihood is he's probably going to eventually end up getting more money out of Tennessee. We'll see how this goes. But as we welcome Joe Rexroad into the program here, let's just get your initial thoughts on what was thrown out there yesterday by On3 Sports from Nico Ian Maliava and what this could mean for him, his future, and the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, I think, well, there's a few things here. One is the reason these things happen usually is because another school is interested, which I had heard about another school's possible interest in him, which, you know, not surprising. I mean, that's what teams do is they poach other players. It's a pretty obvious from yesterday that the Vols and the Vols state media upset On3 for this.
They are.
That this has become like a public story. So, you know, it's one of those things where, again, if what I heard is true about a team coming after him that now has a different quarterback, then, you know, first of all, I guess I would have expected the money to already have been, like, the raise to already have been given, you know? But, I mean, maybe there's somebody else. I'm with you. I don't think that he's going to leave. He's in a good situation. He's starting next year. He knows the offense. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you wouldn't just pick up and go somewhere else and be like, now I'm your quarterback now, you know, especially at this point. I mean, you've gone through spring ball. Right. So I don't think that's realistic. You know, this is one of those things. I think the reason Tennessee's mad is because now this just puts more, you know, if Nico screws up next year, has a bad game, then that's, you know, it's even more fuel on the fire of why the heck did we give you a raise, you know? But this is just what it is with the market. This is why, I mean, every year is free agency. Every year is a renegotiated contract possibility. It's what it is if you're good in college football. So that's why we need to get to the point where there's some kind of collective bargaining, some kind of multi-year possibility so that it's like, okay, well, you wouldn't be up again until, you know, after your junior year or after your third year, if that's your redshirt sophomore year, whatever it is, you know. I mean, obviously, Nico's first deal coming in was a lot was made of it. But the thing is, just like with any other sports market, that doesn't look all that lucrative now.
Yeah.
I mean, when he signed initially, it was like, wow, that is a ton of money for someone to play college football. Now it's, I mean, look around in college hoops right now. We got dudes getting $4 million to play college hoops. So, I mean, that's just what it is. And so, I mean, Tennessee needs to pay him, you know. And obviously they're upset that it's in public. But On3 has been very aggressive with that stuff.
They have been very aggressive with that stuff. Now, as you point out, regardless of the way this turns out, you know, barring him leaving, which, again, I don't expect to happen here. But, I mean, I guess you could never rule it out until it's done. But what it has done is – to your point, now everything's out there, and there's more pressure on him next year to perform. I think there's pressure anyway when you play that position. There's pressure when you're a high-level recruit, a five-star recruit. There's always been pressure from all that. But now you factor in the money. The pressure ramps up even more. And I saw it immediately from Tennessee fans yesterday when this news came out of, why would they give him any money whatsoever? Let him walk. He's not good enough to be commanding all this other stuff. I mean, just throwing fire or gasoline on the fire after all that stuff.
How bad would next year be if you let him walk?
Well, first off, yes. I mean, who's playing quarterback for you next year if you do that? But secondly, that goes to show you, like, he better be pretty darn good next year or there's going to be a lot of scrutiny thrown his way. Now, it's that position at that place specifically. There's scrutiny anyway. But I do think it will be amplified because of all this if he's not really, really good.
Yeah, like for fans. I mean, you know, again, I don't – yeah, like in terms of media scrutiny, you know, I don't know if it's all that different. But, yeah, for sure. You know, the social – but, look, at the same time, if you're Nico and you throw three picks and lose to Vanderbilt or something like that, I'd get off social media anyway. Like I'd get the hell off social media. In fact, I'd get up the hell off social media no matter what you do, good or bad. Maybe. So, I mean, like, it may be three times as many people screaming at you, but, like, if you're open to listening to that, you're already screwed, aren't you?
Well, to a certain degree. Now, I'm with you. That's probably how I would operate. I just know that most of these kids can't do that. Like, maybe he can. I don't know. But most of these kids in college cannot do that.
I agree.
Can't get off.
Yeah, no, you're right. But again, like, so if this never happened and he sucks in a game, there will be stuff in his social media that's so disgusting that you couldn't. So, I mean, I guess you can add to it. There's more of it, or I guess I don't think it could be worse than, like, before we ever got to this whole era of players getting paid or whatnot. I'll go back to like 2012 and find tweets from fans to players that are like, holy crap, are you kidding me? Like, how could you possibly? You know, you're a human being, really? So, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you hear more in the stands or whatever.
Well, I think it will be media too. Like, this is not the same. This is not the same in college athletics as it used to be, and it shouldn't be. Like, if you're getting paid this much money, like the scrutiny should come with that in college football. Now, I don't think you need to take it to an extreme. But, like, they're pro athletes. Like, that's what they are. Especially at that position when you're getting paid this much money. So, I think it's going to be different all the way around. Fans, media, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting – yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, they are. They're professional. They're getting paid. I mean, I still look at it like there's still a difference between college and pro just because of age, for one thing. And you're still talking about – you know, you're still talking about a pretty significant difference in money. I mean, obviously, like a pro quarterback, right, versus a college quarterback, it's still like
– sure.
But dwarfs it, right?
Right.
But, yeah, it's – I mean, I guess we've had this for a few years now. I'm trying to think if I've really detected like a big change, you know?
Well, I think we've had it for a few years, but it's becoming more and more open in terms of, like, everybody knows he's in a quote-unquote contract dispute right now. And when you do that, you open yourself up to a section of the fan base. It's like, man, if you make one mistake, you better be good because we know the money you're getting paid next year. And I think the deeper we get into that, the more scrutiny there's going to be along the way. Like the Underwood kid in Michigan. He better be good because he's getting paid a ton of money out there. Like I think we're entering into that era where that's gonna amplify as we move forward here. Yeah. That's just my thought on it.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think things have changed to such extent, and that's again where it's like, you know, when you have annual renegotiation, annual I'm gonna leave if you don't pay me more. That's different than that's where it's like. You know, it's more than pro sports. The money may not be more, but, like, this is not an annual thing,
right.
You know? I mean, technically, you could say it's an annual thing for coaches, right? Like, a hot coach could get – I mean, I covered a college basketball coach who every year there's an NBA team tried to hire him for a while, you know? But they still have contracts and buyouts. And so it still wasn't just this, I can just leave whenever I want, and you're going to pay me more. That's what has to change.
Yep, no doubt. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, we're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Nico Iamaliava situation. What do you make of the idea of him being in negotiations with Tennessee again, and the spring transfer portal window being opening next week. We'll get into that. Take more of your thoughts on our text line. Some thoughts already rolling in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on Nico Iamaliava and the report from On3 Sports that he is, quote, negotiating a new contract with Tennessee. Craig in JC, Tennessee. I don't know where that is. Where's JC, Tennessee? Says Nico isn't going anywhere. According to VolQuest, they've agreed after last season to renegotiate. This is a negotiation. Nako's probably played up the transfer potential too much, but it seems to have worked like a charm with Vols fans. This from Craig on the text line. Joe, your thoughts on that? Is this On3 Sports maybe playing into this a little bit too much, which I did see a ton of yesterday from Vols fans? Of you guys are just looking for the clicks out there.
Yeah. Well, I know I saw that. I saw that a lot from other media outlets in Knoxville too. I don't know. I'm trying to find this text so I can make sure I can. My text is messed up, but that goes along with me being late to the show today. Sorry, we had to stop and I had a child with me, and we had to stop and get Nick a going away cake pop. So
very important.
And then I come here, and we have all these donuts that are sitting right in front of me.
Yeah, you looked really excited yeah, about it a minute ago.
Did you see how quickly I destroyed that glazed donut?
Holy crap. But you got it with like 30 seconds left before we came back from break.
Yeah, and it's
you
gone.
Just annihilated.
It's absolutely gone.
That's how you do it.
Okay, so here we go. So they Craig and JC. He's texted him before. We don't know where JC is.
Where's JC?
So that
Johnson City. Okay,
there we go.
Makes sense.
Okay, probably played up the transfer potential too much. Yeah, I mean. That's the thing that's interesting is that, again, I don't know. I obviously have no idea if and how many schools are in pursuit, you know, trying to beat around, you know, trying to get in there and say, hey, Nico, check us out. But I heard of one previously. So does that necessitate – is that what this is about? That's already been kind of like he's not going anywhere, but let's – I mean, look. So let me make sure I have the deal correct from before. It was 4-8 over 4, right?
I believe that's how it broke down, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that's peanuts for a major college quarterback, but that's on the low end now, you know? And it's just so and now I understand people say, well, has Nico really been that great to warrant that? I hear that. I mean, I think he was pretty good last year. He wasn't like superstar that everybody hoped he would be in his first year of playing. But I think you can see the talent still. There's a market for him. People are trying to come after him. So you have to deal with that, yep. You know? So, but yeah, obviously Tennessee very much a lot of backlash about this becoming a public thing with him negotiating because of all the things that you just said, yep. You know? And that's how it goes sometimes. I mean, you know, the Nico's family has been very – I mean, they wouldn't talk to anybody – for any reason, like I know that I tried, like not trying to do a story on the money you're getting, just trying to do a story, and it's like, nah, like, yeah. They want nothing to do with any media at all because of this. You know, they didn't want this to become a story, and I get that, but at the same time, like you said, I mean, like, if you're getting the money and it is basically a professional sports relationship, then that's how it gets treated. You know, like it's not going to not get talked about.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I don't think you can fight that.
Can't have your cake pop and eat it too.
You cannot have your cake pop and eat it too.
There you go.
Like, this is, I mean, this is representative of where we're at in college football, and this is not just Tennessee dealing with this, but, I mean, think about the offseason for Tennessee so far, right? They had Mike Matthews enter the transfer portal. Everybody at Tennessee freaked out, and he negotiated whatever he needed to negotiate. He ends up back at Tennessee. And at the moment, he's their wide receiver one. You had Boo Carter do this thing where was he going to leave? Met with Tennessee's coaching staff, apparently. And I guess now he's, you know, Tennessee's version of Travis Hunter, and he's been playing on both sides of the ball. So we'll see what that actually looks like by the time the season comes around. But it kind of feels like hypal this offseason, and Tennessee, their program in general, has just been in a constant state of renegotiation, and that is unfortunately where we're at in college football right now.
And, you know, you see this more at some places than other places, and what I think it is some places just get out in front of things a little better. And I think maybe Tennessee, you know, maybe didn't as much in terms of if you know who you got to retain, you know, then okay, let's talk. I mean, everybody has agents now. And again, it's exhausting, I'm sure, to be in this constant every year. Everyone is a free agent. That's yep. If you have a good team and good players, that's a lot to deal with. But that's you get out front, and you know this is where it's also important, like to have like good agents, have good relationships with agents. Like, okay, so what is it going to take? I don't want to hear about this all of a sudden. Then some school comes in, and then we're talking again. Let's nail it down. What makes you happy to, you know, to come back next year? And it does seem like Tennessee had a few guys who were like, okay, yeah. Well, then I'll go out here and make this a public thing then.
Yeah, like my general viewpoint on this from the terms of the players getting paid hasn't changed all that much. Like by the time the season comes around, like fans don't care that players are getting paid. Now, they are going to pay attention to how much they're getting paid, and that's going to be, as I talked about in the last segment, a point of discussion, particularly if things aren't going well. I do wonder this, though, because I saw this a lot from Tennessee fans yesterday, and it's not just a Tennessee fan thing. I've seen it from a lot of people that this is affected around the country. Like, are you hesitant to, like, be all in on a player if you're a fan nowadays just because it's like, well – I mean, I love the guy, but is he going to be here next year? Like, it's a really difficult thing to do. Like, we talked about Ziegler, right, with the basketball team. Like, I think those type of guys are going to become more and more rare until there is some sort of solution to this one way or the other. Like, the guys that are at a university and are impactful players for that university at key positions for 4 years – I think that's going to be a really hard thing to find as teams move forward here, unless you are, like you said, out in front of it, you're paying them the money, and you know, the other part of this is Tennessee's quarterback room right now. Not only now, but what it's going to look like next year. Let's say Nico's back. You got McIntyre, who's a high recruit. You got the Faison Branded kid coming in. I mean, it's
they won't all be there.
It's going to be very interesting to see how all this shakes out. And like, do the two guys behind him, like if Nico goes out and is pretty good this year, but he's not ready to go to the NFL, does that influence the way how much Tennessee's willing to pay him after that? Because they know they got two guys behind him. It's going to be really interesting to see how that part of it plays out.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, so look at hoops. Now, obviously, Rick Barnes lost, Jonas Adu, and look, I mean, everybody knows basically in the sport that Arkansas last year paid the most money in men's hoops. They went nuts, and I guess they did end up getting the Sweet 16, but obviously it was disappointing for a long time. But
who do we credit for that, Tyson Chicken or Walmart?
Tyson Chicken, okay. Absolutely, yeah. That chicken money. But so Adu and then Awaka both – leave, which was, you know, obviously a big hit to Rick Barnes, but like those other guys, I mean, it's not like Ziegler, you know, I mean, yeah, he's a 4-year guy and he's a small guy. He's not gonna be in the NBA. They had to pay him. To pay him and they kept him. And Mayshak is a guy, a lot of teams love a defender like that. So like, to me, it's like, you kind of have to make choices. And I think that's what they did. And those are the right choices. And then you never hear a peep about it, you know? And so that's what you have to do. But obviously that's also different in basketball. In basketball, it's a small group of people, and if you have a core of good players. So I think there'll be more. I think they will see that, even if it doesn't change. But then, you know, you can't do it across the board. In football, there's so many guys and just so many possibilities for that. Like Chris said, this is why Saban got out. Yes. But again, I mean, this is why they have to figure this out. And the NCAA trying to – you know, just trying to do everything but get to the obvious thing you have to get to, which is if it's professional, then it's employment.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't have to be like a full labor management agreement, but you have to have some kind of collective bargaining, and you have to deal with the market. Like this whole, like Ed's like, why not a salary cap for NIL? Is there a salary cap for coaches, Ed? You know, no, there's not. Now, granted, if you're going to do a salary cap for NIL, that's like in the NFL, where it's basically 50% of the revenue, fine. But then you get into the whole issue of, like, they have the revenue sharing. Now you have all the sports, right? So, I mean, to me, you can't try to stop the market from working. And then if you do, you're going to go back to when Saban loved college football, when people just got bags of cash under the table, and amazingly how the best programs with the best players would come down to the end of these bidding wars and get these players because money was flowing then too. Well, so that's the system Saban liked.
Well, and beyond all that, I mean, right now the courts have basically told you that you can't cap it. Like, that's basically what the courts have said, is if you try to cap it, we're going to shoot you down. Like, that's basically what it is. Now, can you find a way around that if you can unionize this whole thing and get them as employees? Maybe. But right now, the way things are, you can't put a cap on it. They'll take you to court and they'll win.
Right, but like this revenue share, you know, they're trying to do like this clearinghouse where they determine what your fair market value is and everything. It's like if Kentucky wants to pay this point guard $4 million, shut up. I mean, like you can't. I don't care about your clearinghouse or your fair market. It's all this crap that they keep trying to get in the way. Again, the movement is the problem. The movement constantly is the problem. So how do you address that?
Well, there's something that I think should be done that's relatively easy that I think has got to be implemented on that front that we'll get into coming up next. More of your thoughts to get to on the Nico Iamaliava situation at Tennessee. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. They offer 18 championship holes spanning over 6,800 yards with the meandering Madison Creek as its centerpiece. Love it out there at 12 Stones. People are feeling their oats right now with the golf and the Masters going on. Rex Rowe was just talking about maybe stretching, going to the driving range after this, so we'll see what happens. You get half off $50 gift card for 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Skyler says, guys, y'all have wasted 30 minutes not talking about what's most important. Do you guys think Cam Ward is going to go number one overall to the Titans? Would love to hear you all talk about that some more.
Oh, you just wait, Skyler.
Thank you, Skyler. We appreciate it.
That was my suggestion for the whole show today. Yeah. Let's debate. Do you think the Titans are taking Cam Ward number one?
A nine-minute run.
There you go. I had somebody ask me yesterday. I was like, how do you not get tired of talking about the draft? I was like, well, first off, I've been tired of talking about the draft for about 2 months. But people love it, so that's what we got to do. And here we are, less than 2 weeks away finally. So we will talk about the draft more. But yeah, I need the draft to happen.
Yeah, that's a thing. You know, we get sick of it, and then it'll happen, and then...
Then what?
I mean, I guess we can talk about the actual players they now have in their team.
Yeah, who wants to do that?
Yeah.
One thing on this transfer stuff in college football, college sports in general, that I think we will probably eventually get to, you know, everybody keeps bringing up the coaching examples of this, of, well, the coaches can leave whenever they want, which is true. There's also a buyout associated with that. So I'm not saying that the buyout is always totally, you know, prohibitive of somebody coming in and making a move with a coach. But I do think sometimes, depending on how much time and money is left on the contract, it makes you think about it a little bit before you're one of these programs.
Sure.
Like, we need to get that in with the player deals here. Like, there's got to be an outcome here eventually to somewhat limit this movement of there's got to be some level of buyout, I think, associated with these player contracts in college football. We got to get to that point pretty soon here.
Yeah, and I do like the it's really like a soccer idea, like the transfer fee type thing. I mean, I don't hate that at all. Look, we complain about scheduling, right? And then it's always comes back to, yeah, but this is how these programs, you know, the lower level programs fund themselves, and so like it's hard to totally get rid of that. I think that when these, and it is more of a basketball thing, but certainly it's a football thing too. You have, Middle Tennessee here has had several guys, you know, go to a Power Five, or I guess it's now the Power Four teams, right, and things like that. I like the idea of if you take a player from a school like that, then there should be a fee associated with that back to the original school. mean, especially like in hoops, you know. I mean, Belmont should be getting something for all these ridiculously good players that are just all over college basketball that Casey Alexander found, you know. and they're not the only example, but obviously they're a great local example. So I think that's part of it too. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, some level of deterrence. And, again, just a level of certainty for coaches, but for fans too.
Yeah.
You know, that because, like, in pro sports, everybody knows – you know, Jeff Simmons needs his deal this year. A.J. Brown needs his deal, or they're going to trade him. But, like, you know the timeline with these guys, and you can get more attached. And the difference is even in pro sports, you could have an athlete for 15 years, you know, which obviously I don't think that'll happen. And although, you know,
we got a guest coming up at 7:30. We could ask about it.
I mean, I almost went to college for 15 years. So, I mean, you know, I suppose, you know, like – I would have if I could have. So I suppose it, you know, we can get some lifetime education stuff going in here. Maybe we start getting some. Maybe we can get. Yeah, let's ask Clark Lea if
Clark?
he's got Pavia penciled in as a starter in 2033.
Do you think Pavia will be the quarterback for the next 25 years at Vanderbilt?
I mean, it's at some point, does that get challenged? You know, like why do I have to be confined to eligibility
as a
thing? Screw eligibility. The market says Vanderbilt wants me to be their quarterback.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I'm kind of interested to see like the first person who makes that argument and is.
It's like,
do they have a chance of being successful?
It's like, why can't I get a second degree? Yeah. I got a second four-year degree right now.
Yeah, I don't. I'm interested to see how that goes down. Real quickly, you know, I'm not going to sit here on Friday, April the 11th, Joe, and totally break down Tennessee's roster here as to what it looks like in the fall, because there's another transfer portal window coming up that we just talked about, so we'll see if there's any movement there. My thought on it, my initial brush on it is this, though. Like, I think right now, I think Tennessee's worse than they were last year, barring Nico Iamaliava being significantly better. Like, if he plays great, then I think that could really overcome some things. But right now, I don't think they're a college football playoff team. Now, we'll see how it breaks down. But that's another thing here. Like, that's what the bar is going to be. Like, the expectation for them is going to be, you better get back into college football playoff, and you might need to do some damage this time around with it. That's why they're paying him to begin with, is to be that guy. So if they're not that guy, if they don't do that this year, it's going to be interesting around there. See what the reaction is.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. They obviously lost some difference makers on defense for sure. And
McCoy's hurt. We'll see when he's back.
Yeah.
Jamal McCoy.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, I think you're right, but I think it is possible also that Nico takes that big step.
It is.
You know? I mean, you got to remember it was his first year. He was technically a freshman. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, but, you know, he was a freshman last year. So you would hope that there would be a big jump. But, yeah, I agree. If he doesn't make a big one, then they might be hard-pressed. And their schedule is
it's
tough. It's tough enough.
It's not – I mean, it's not crazy tough just as we sit here today. I mean, it's the same teams they played last year. So, you know, it's obviously navigable. But we'll see. I mean, it's a different year, different teams, different set of circumstances. They also, for the most part, got pretty good injury luck last year. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that could be different. It's a big year out there to see, was that a one-year flash in the pan type of thing last year, or are they on the ascent with him at quarterback? We'll find out. 615-737-1025, our phone number. I do have a Titans question for you that I've been burning to ask you coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Win an exclusive Jason Aldean experience. Text in the keyword Jason to 615-737-1025 and receive a link to sign up for a chance to win all-inclusive tickets to the Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Jason Aldean, plus a chance to win $1,000 in cash as well. Again, text the keyword Jason to 615-737-1025. Joe, a burning Titans question to ask you before we get to Stilly coming up at 7 o'clock, which I know you're excited about.
Yeah. Ask me as many questions as you want before we get to Stilly.
So as we sit here less than 2 weeks away from the beginning of the NFL draft, how many positions do you feel good about with the Titans? I'm not talking okay. I'm not talking, well, you know, if everything in the world breaks their way and they get some good luck here, it could work out fine. How many position groups for the Titans do you feel good about as we sit here today on Friday, April the 11th?
I'd say running back. I mean, Pollard was good last year. Bad offense, he was good. And Spears, you know, is – I think you could upgrade on Spears, but he's a serviceable third down back. So I think I would qualify that as good. I would say defensive tackle. I would say good, and they did add to that a little bit, you know, sort of a combo guy to go with Mr. Biscuit and Mr. Simmons. I'd say, you know, you feel good about that. Could be better than good. Does Tavondre Sweat take a step? You know, how does Simmons come back? But, I mean, you have to feel good about it, I think. I'd say I feel
I'm asking the question.
The only other position that I'm considering, because are you saying position group, is that the whole offensive line? You're saying like guards and tackles?
For the sake of this discussion, we can go whole offensive line if you want to.
I'm not saying good there. I mean, I feel a little better. Yeah, I would say, you know, corner could be good. If you tell me that L'Jarius Sneed is playing next year, then I would say good.
Yeah.
So, but it's a big if. Woozy's out. You know, obviously McCreary's a good player, and they found, you know, they found a rookie last year who can play. But yeah, no, I'm going to stick with DTs and RBs. There we go. T's and P's. Wow. DTs and RBs.
So, I mean, that kind of highlights where they're at in the draft, because I think I'm with you. I think running back, I feel good about basically because I feel good about Pollard. And then, like you said, with Spears. Look, I still will not be surprised if at some point in the draft they take a running back and try to upgrade on Spears. I'm not saying that's what I would do based on the way that their needs fall right now, but they may get to a situation later in the draft where a running back is clearly the best player and it's a pretty good year to need a running back. So we'll see what happens on that front. Like Sweat and Simmons, I feel good about. I don't think there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done there. I think literally everywhere else, edge rusher, linebacker, and I would say this, the other one that I put into consideration of saying that I feel pretty good about is safety, just because I feel good about the starters there in Woods and Hooker. But again, like beyond those guys, there's not a ton there right now. So I still think you could even – like you need a younger guy there,
oh yeah,
I think. So I still don't know that I feel good about that, but at least you have – a couple of the starters there that can play. So yeah. You know that.
Yeah, it's better than some.
Right. And then offensively, I mean, we don't even need to bring up receiver. I don't feel good about tight end. I know they have two starters, quote unquote, there too. They got to upgrade those guys, in my opinion, at some point. So the bottom line is, it's still, even through free agency, for the meat of free agency, a roster right now where – you feel good about very few positions on this roster right now.
Yeah, and I thought maybe there'd be a little bit better feeling at some of them by now. But, you know, they haven't done a ton. Hey, Keezer, make sure on your way out, you Robbie just, if you heard that, he said edge rusher, linebacker. Make sure you make that a drop.
Let's get that all in there.
So for our next intro of our show.
Yeah,
so we can,
that'd be good.
We can get that in there.
I mean, I don't even feel good about kicker anymore. We'll see. I don't know how good Joey Sly is going to be kicking the ball.
I don't feel as good. I don't feel as good there, for sure. Brian says, I feel good about parking lot attendance and not much else. Team is trash. Wow, Brian. Bringing some negativity on a Friday, Brian.
Yeah. Well, how about that?
You feel good about the parking lot attendance? Sometimes they –
sometimes it gets a little crazy down there.
Yeah, sometimes they send me the wrong way.
I mean,
saying.
Keith does bring up long snapper. I mean, they've been set at long snapper for a while now, so I feel pretty good about snapper.
That is true. If we're gonna be able Morgan to Cox is out boil there it down to just the long snapper position, absolutely, he's a stud.
Yeah. So then that gets back into, well, you feel good about very few of the positions on this roster. You should be trying like mad to trade back from pick number 35 and picking up as many picks as you possibly can. Which I get it. Like there are people that, you know, we keep bringing up like Burden and. If by some miracle both Burden and Igbuka fall down to 35 and are still there, or what do you do if James Pierce is there? Like, there are some guys that could be there at 35 that it would be very difficult for me to pass on if I'm the Titans. But I got a text from a buddy yesterday. It's like, I don't care who's there at 35. Trade back and go get some more picks.
So we can – I forget who this was. I was listening to some of the TD Power Hour yesterday on Stilly's show, and someone suggested the Titans would look to trade back up into the first round for one of these receivers, which to me is like that. That's exactly what they have continued to do here during this time period, which, you know, the GM who just got fired – and I think that's crazy. Sticking and picking, okay, if it's absolutely someone that you, again, if Burden's there and you're like, whoa, Burden's there, okay, fine. I can't argue with that if you have a player that you really have high on your board. But I'm with you. I mean, to me, the ideal situation is that you get more picks and get as many new players here as possible.
I don't even know if trade up, that phrase, should be in their vernacular this draft. Like, I don't even know that I would consider it if I'm them.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if somebody crazy falls down that you just – you're stunned
and
by that.
And the way you evaluate that person is like, we cannot blow this. But it'd have to be – because, you know, I like Luther Burden. I like Egbuka.
Egbuka?
Yeah, Egbuka. Thank you. God. I like them. I think they're both good.
I don't think I'm trading up for either one of them.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. Like, I like them. They're good. I think in some years, like in this draft, they're like the third and fourth best receiver, you know, potentially. But I don't know. In some other drafts in recent years, they might be more like 7-8.
Yeah. We'll have Stilly with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and the NFL draft with him. I may have to get after him about his ridiculous Masters take, too. We'll see what happens.
Let's do it.
This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.